harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me.
When you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program on whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, so much more to report on today. Of course, the coronavirus continues to sweep along. Now well over 200 people admittedly dead in China. Well, several thousand infected. Again, this is this is what's admitted, and there's strong reasons to believe there are many, many more. Some very big important developments, and many of this comes down to race, believe it or not. The association that represents American airline pilots have been very hardcore about what they want. They made issued a strong statement yesterday, this is quite interesting, and of course, it's had some other implications. Well, here's the U.S. Pilots Union wants flights to China halted. A U.S. Pilot Union filed a lawsuit on Thursday, seeking to immediately halt American Airlines, that's not American air carriers, but the entity called American Airlines, to halt their U.S.-China service, as cabin crews worldwide voiced unease about exposure to the coronavirus, which, in, of course, this is this news is about 12 hours, it's probably 24 hours old, but the virus has killed more than 180 people in China. Yale Light Pilots Association, which represents American Airlines pilots, cited, quote, serious and in many cases, in many ways, still unknown health threats posed by the coronavirus. American, the largest U.S. carrier, did not immediately comment on the suit filed in a Texas court. The Texas-based airline announced Wednesday it would next month suspend flights from Los Angeles to Peking and Shanghai, but continue flights from Dallas. The lawsuit comes as a number of airlines have stopped flights to China, including, interestingly, Air Canada, Finnair, British Airways, and there are some other things, Singapore Airways. So I think the people in the know are really taking this seriously, which doesn't necessarily mean our governments are. Well, I think the American government is. The American government has suspended all flights, will not allow people into the United States who have come from China. There are exceptions. If you are an American citizen, obviously, if you are, if you hold a green card or a relative, I think close relative of an American citizen. Now, so there are exceptions, but in general, they're not going to want to clear large screen large numbers of people from China. And you know that's what really healthy. I like that. That's putting Americans first. I think people, there's of course quite the effort to don't worry, be happy. We're monitoring. I hate that word. They're monitoring. It means they're sitting around on their bums, doing probably in many cases not doing a whole lot. Anyway, that's certainly one development. Here in Canada, we keep hearing urgent appeals against what? You won't believe it. Yeah, maybe you will. Racism. Yeah, that's right. If you've got a problem with the Chinese, if you're, let's say, a little bit leery. I don't mean you want to have a... go out and hurt anybody or anything like that. Chinese have said are complaining. Well, China towns are being abandoned in Canada. There are a lot of people not coming to China. Yeah, a lot of Chinese are not going to Chinatown. Apparently, as of Thursday, it was impossible to find a surgical face mask or hand sanitizer at any drugstores in Toronto. Why? Well, a whole lot of people, including a lot of Chinese people, are doing that. Well, people are making comments about Chinese food. Yeah, and I certainly have made comments from the very beginning. Because, thanks a lot, because of barbaric practices. No, not by all Chinese, of course, but by a significant number. That is what apparently has let this animal kingdom virus, the coronavirus, into the human kingdom, just like SARS 15 years ago. Yeah, 15 years ago, we had SARS. And SARS, it turned out, came from roughly the same area of China. It came from the same type of background. What's the background? and the background is these big, vast markets, food markets, outdoor markets. What they do there, the Chinese very much love meat, wildlife. Exotic wildlife. I don't mean just beef or or chickens or pigs or whatever, but I mean the weirder the better. Snakes, civet cats, they're not supposed to, but bears, wolves, dogs, bats. Yeah, bats. Can you believe it? I mentioned snakes, didn't I? A civet cat is kind of a rare cat. It didn't used to be, but it's a rare wild cat. And that's where the SARS virus came from 15 years ago. It's a virus carried by the civet cat. Now, you'd say, well, how did it get into the human food chain? How did it get into humans? Well, these animals are kept in appallingly filthy conditions because the Chinese love the food fresh. I mean, like, fresh. In preparing bats, for instance, you get to select the bat out of a cage. It's alive. And say, okay, that one, that's my favorite bat. And the bat gets dropped into boiling water in front of you, and I don't know, you slurp it up. Well, anyway, SARS virus, because of the filthy conditions where these animals are kept stacked in cages, and they're ill, they're dying, they're scared, they're defecating, they're urinating, they're sweating, the virus got into the human chain. Well, okay, that was SARS. Same scenario here, only it's believed that the virus leapt from snakes to human beings. But bats are somehow involved as well. Well, yeah, it's their eating habits, or the eating habits of a significant number of Chinese, that have brought this about. It's on them. No, not every Chinaman. It's not the eating habits of the people in Paraguay. It's not the eating habits of the people in Iceland. That's racist. No, it's not racist. It's recognizing a fact. And this is a fact. And this is on them. Now, some of these markets with a horrible treatment of creatures are technically illegal in China. Yeah, but technically and really are two different things. Technically, yeah, but because of widespread corruption, the practice goes on. Well, this is on them. So anyway, the fact that some Canadians are maybe a little leery of Chinatown or want to give a crowd of Chinese a bit of a good berth is not racist. It's realist. And, of course, we know not everybody, probably the vast majority of the Chinese, aren't carrying this virus. But some are. And the four cases, it's now up to four in Canada, at least four officially, have all come from Wuhan, the city of Wuhan, that's the epicenter, in China. The latest is a girl at the University of Western Ontario, who's a student. She was back home seeing her parents in Wuhan. And she came to Canada, and she at first wasn't symptomatic, then she began to feel ill. She showed up for testing and was found to have a mild touch of the coronavirus fever. She's apparently getting better. The most vulnerable people apparently are the old and those who are already sick or have a diminished immune system. Excuse me. China basically is the problem. All the deaths so far, and there are well over 200 admitted, maybe far more, but all the deaths so far, and the vast majority of the cases, are in China. The cause of the virus is because of the practices of certain Chinese. Now, it really is on them to address that. It's not racist or somehow bad to notice this. Now, of course, common sense is necessary. Every Chinaman obviously not carrying coronavirus. You have to have come recently from that part of China or been in close contact with somebody who has come from that part of China and has the virus. They now know for sure that it is transmitted from human to human. or at least that's one of the means of transmission. So a certain amount of caution about Chinese people in general, probably a good idea. Now, the more you know a person, like if you know your neighbor three doors away and you know that person has not been to China for many years and lives a rather isolated life, has not been in contact with people who have been, well, yeah, of course you don't shun them. And recognizing that not all Chinese food is is problematic. Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable common sense. Well, anyway, reasonable common sense is not the the order of the day. I found this very interesting. This is by Paul Joseph Watson. CNN is angry that too many white people are trying to stop the coronavirus from spreading. It's like a mad world, isn't it? According to CNN, the real concern about the coronavirus is not the potential for a global pandemic. And in fact, well, there's already a global alert. It's the fact that too many white people are trying to stop it. This is CNN Politics. Coronavirus Task Force, another example of Trump administration's lack of diversity. Oh, I see. That's the problem. The task force doesn't have enough non-whites on it. Talk about the non-issue. That was the message sent by an article posted on the News Network's website entitled Coronavirus Task Force, Another Example of Trump Administration's Lack of Diversity. The two images illustrating the article showed Barack Obama's circle of advisors during the 2017 Ebola outbreak and President Trump's advisors during a recent meeting about the coronavirus outbreak. In the photograph showing Trump's advisors, most of them are, God forbid, white men. Ooh. Who are the experts? Whined CNN's Brandon Tensley. They're largely the same sort of white men and a couple of women on the sidelines who've dominated the Trump administration from the very beginning. Tensley called the images a statement that's as predictable as it is infuriating. President Donald Trump's administration lacks diversity. He concludes by complaining about how Trump values the opinions of mostly white men who mirror images of the president himself. Well, what would really matter is who are the experts? I don't care if the world expert is an Eskimo from Greenland. You've got to get the people who are experts. Now, presumably, the people who are most expert in this kind of highly specialized area of disease and immunology are mostly white people. And most of them men. Well, what's wrong with getting the best? Rather, we've got to have a diverse team here. Okay, we'll have one black, a couple of Jews, one Chinese, maybe somebody who looks like an Aboriginal from New Guinea. You've got to have one or two cripples, an obvious homosexual. Well, that may be a very diverse team. But they might not know a blessed thing about the immunovirus. See, we have made a fetish, well, not we, but the politically correct, the cultural Marxists have made a fetish out of diversity. Instead of what we used to and obviously should emphasize, and that's competence. Apparently, wanting to not appear racist is more important than stopping a rapidly spreading global pandemic, which has now reached at least 23 countries. This is yet another example of how diversity means less white people. At its heart is the flagrantly racist premise that people should not be judged on the content of their character, but on the color of their skin, and that people with white skin should be discriminated against. Kind of make a playing on a comment made by Martin Luther King. Respondents on Twitter were incredulous. When I lay dying of bat soup fever, I want to be able to say that the task force may not have been the most qualified, but goddamn, they were a diverse bunch. Chokes, carpe donkum. Maybe when the goal is to protect the country against a deadly virus, there are more important things than the race and genitals of the people in the room, remarked Garrett Gutierrez. I completely agree with you. A solution to any epidemic requires the input of non-binary people of color. diversity of gender expression and of skin color is the only way to crack major epidemiological challenges, commented Professor Gad Saad. And that, in a nutshell, is why CNN is a complete joke. I said I would... A good friend in Australia sent this to me, and I said I would... No, I'm sorry, it was Dr. James Sanchez. I said I would read it. Well, switching back to Canada, we've got an outrage on this on this issue, too. TV journalist Peter Ackman, now he is a reporter for the CTV program... which I've temporarily lost. anyway, he was a CTV television reporter. Okay, here's the story in a nutshell. A simple joke in a tweet on Tuesday with a picture of his Chinese barber. So this reporter, Peter Ackman, took a picture with his Chinese barber in the barber shop, and the Chinese barber had on a surgical face mask. So a simple joke and a tweet, a picture with a Chinese barber, got Peter Ackman fired. All he said beside his barber with a surgical mask was, quote, "Hopefully all I got today was a haircut." Okay, in other words, not the virus. That's all he said. Picture and the comment. Well, plainly, in plain English, that is that not just a wish that or hope that I didn't get sick? Nobody wants to come down with this virus, do they? Oh, well, but you said that because the barber was Chinese. Yeah, and you're not saying he has the virus. You're just saying you hope all you got was a haircut. And the Chinese barber was doing the responsible thing, wearing the surgical mask, although there's some people question whether that does any good at all, but I mean, he was trying to do the right thing. Anyway, that was enough to trigger the Twitter crazies with howls of racism. Of course, he quickly apologized. For what? It's hard to know. Now, you know, it's also predictable. Now, if he'd done something wrong, I can see apologizing. If he said, this Chinaman has the coronavirus, and if he didn't, yeah, that'd be something wrong. You have to apologize for that. But he didn't do anything wrong, and you know it doesn't do you any good. Because what happened? We quickly apologized, but did no good. Peter Ackman no longer has a job. So as of Thursday, he's gone. No more journalist at CTV. Being a journalist that. For over 25 years. So much for, of course, CTV and freedom of speech. Corporate cowardice in defense of basic freedom is corrosive. I detest the ballsless directors and managers of many big corporations. You know, our great sports announcer Don Cherry was fired within 48 hours of having urged people, especially immigrants, to wear the poppy to show respect for Canada's veterans. Well, he hadn't been maybe delicate enough. He called immigrants "you people." Now, he didn't say, you know, "you disgusting people, you trash, you rabble," or anything like that. He just said, "you people." Well, what are they? Cattle? No, they're people. But anyway, so corporate Canada is despicable. And I hope the day will come when the wheel turns, that it will be their turn. Because they will want to continue to be able to make scads of money. Well, fair enough. But they will not do it without a lot of regulations in the world I foresee. They will be made to pay for having betrayed our freedoms. They did not protect our freedoms. They don't particularly deserve any special consideration. Anyway, back to the poor fellow. Well, where's the racism? The acknowledged source of the coronavirus is Red China, and it is tied to an aspect of Chinese culture, the widespread desire for fresh wild meat. The wretched wild animals, bats, monkeys, civet cats, snakes, etc., are kept in horrid conditions in markets. Cages stacked on top of each other have these terrified animals urinating and defecating on each other. You don't have to be a medical scientist to know that this is not good. This is not a prescription for a situation that's going to end well, and it won't end well. Many Chinese do not support such practices, and yes, many Chinese do not have the virus. But thus far, all the 180 acknowledged deaths, and this was written a few hours ago, and almost all those ill from the virus are in China. And of the four cases thus far in China, all four are Chinese who recently flew in from Wuhan. There's no racism here, just facts. And I urge it's time to take Canada back from the cancel culture fanatics and the anti-racist, and that's really anti-white, wrecking crew, and the apostles of minority-itis, who put the tender feelings of privileged minorities above the basic Canadian rights, like freedom of speech. And that's, minority-itis is the favoring of minorities, special minorities, over the rights of the majority. Now, in a conflict here, if it's going to bother some Chinaman that we want to be just a little bit cautious of associating too closely with Chinese people at this time, or at least we want to be sure they haven't recently gone off a plane from Wuhan. If that hurts your feelings, tough. Protecting Canada is really more important than your precious feelings. Some of the initial Twitter comments were things like, this is from Meg Fenway, "It wasn't insensitive, it was straight up racist." Robin LeBlanc wrote, "It was racist, dude, say it." And you notice from the names, Fenway and LeBlanc, these people are white. Among the most despicable people are our own race traitors, who so loathe themselves, or who loathe healthy white people, who want a virtue signal, that they accuse him of recognizing race as a factor. Although he didn't even specifically say Chinese, but his barber was obviously Chinese. Now, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance had developed a term a few years back which I thought was very effective because it's descriptive. For years, people have debated and discussed, am I a racist or am I a racialist or what? Well, racist, of course, was a term invented for nationalist enemies of him by a man named Lev Davidovich Bronstein. Now that's, of course, Leon Trotsky. That was his nom de guerre. A bitter and Jewish communist. And those who were, say, more nationalist as opposed to internationalist in their interpretation of communism, he labeled as racists. Well, why should we use that term? It's a pejorative term. It's rather vague. You're not quite sure what it is exactly. It's just that it's bad. Others made thought that they would call themselves racialists. In other words, people are conscious of race and the importance of race, but are not preaching hatred. I'm not totally sure that helps a huge amount. It's a distinction, I guess. Jared Taylor's term, though, I thought was very good, and that's race realist. That's what we are. We look at the issue of race in a realistic manner. In other words, race does matter. It's not everything, but it does matter. It determines, to a certain extent, biology. And as Professor Phil Rushton and others pointed out in the 80s, it also determines or to a considerable extent, behavior. Not absolutely, of course. You know, you're not doomed to be this or that because of your race, but you do have inclinations. For instance, Professor Rushton made the point that blacks have a higher propensity for violence and a lower ability to restrain themselves or to foresee consequences. Now, that doesn't mean they're doomed to wild acts of violence or not. That there's an element of free will. But there's a tendency. Now, that's reality. You can deny it, but that's foolish. There's also racial differences on the basis of IQ. Again, roughly speaking, and this is a bit controversial. I disagreed with Rushton on this at times, but he said Orientals are slightly higher than, they have an average IQ of slightly above 100. The average IQ for whites is 100. The average IQ for North American blacks is 85. The average IQ for blacks in Africa is 70, and so on, with many implications. He and his colleague have written several books, colleague at the University of Northern Ireland, wrote a book on the geography of IQ. And when you look at the IQ concentrations of the world, with almost no exceptions, they mirror economic advancement. Low IQ nations tend to be poor. High IQ nations like Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, several other places, Japan, happen to be wealthy. Is there a connection? Well, yeah. In terms of immigration, and Dr. James Sanchez has shared this concern with me many times, in terms of immigration, the United States is allowing in so many people with lower IQ, and that's many of the people from Central America, Mexico, and Central America, that it is actually dragging the national IQ down. That's really big. They, of course, are large numbers of these people, but it takes quite a large number to significantly alter the national IQ. Well, the national average is no longer 100. It's slipping down into the high 90s. Now, some people may say, well, what's the difference of a couple points of IQ? Well, there's actually quite a difference. Rushton and several others have said that you cannot have a participatory participatory government with an IQ below 90. Like if your average national IQ is 90, the people are just not capable of participatory self-government. They'll have to be governed by a king, a dictator, a strongman, a tribal chief, or whatever. Now, that has implications for those countries in the West, North America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, etc., that cherish democracy, participatory government. Now, I'll avoid the term democracy, participatory government. Anyway, race realism takes race into account as a factor. You see, if you ignore it or say any differences are a social construct, well, that's not true. The funny thing is, except in the odd comedy, no Negro has to rely on society to tell him he's a Negro. He knows. And if there's affirmative action, he makes sure he puts down that he's black. He's a member of a minority. Native Indians. It's not a social construct. Hey, you're an Indian. I'm not just going to say you're an Indian. No. They know they're Indians. And they know how to belly up to for all the goodies and benefits. If they live on a reservation, they don't have to pay taxes or at any level, sales tax, income tax. They get, if they wish to go to university, they get their university tuition paid for. Nobody has to come along and say, you know, you're an Indian. Oh, yeah, really? Well, yeah, you're in line for all these goodies. They know, people know. So race is not a social construct. Anyway, that was the story of this poor Peter Ackman. He is now a history, at least as a working for CTV. There were some, the story appeared in a kind of left-wing weekly paper, weekly tabloid in Vancouver called Georgia Straight. It appeared elsewhere as well. But anyway, there were some times where they still allow them, there are some very interesting comments by readers. And I didn't select these just for the good ones. In fact, I took the first 20. I mean, I'll read all of them, but I took the first 20, complete with all their spelling mistakes and so on. And here they are. David Christie writes, Canada's going toward being a dictatorship if this is the trend we face. Funny thing, every time a different country steps on their people for saying something that somebody didn't like, Canada starts yelling, human rights, human rights, human rights. Well, people of Canada are losing ours every day with changing laws to the point that if you look at somebody or say something, you're going to be in shit by somebody. Or you go online and say something, your employer has the right to fire you. Our country is very broken, and at the rate we're going, we might as well cut out our tongues and blind ourselves so we don't offend anybody. I couldn't agree more. I really like that term. Our country is very broken. It is. Donalda Krillick Manakea, it was a joke. What the fuck? I'm sorry I have Chinese relatives that would not be offended. This is totally ridiculous. Okay, very, very sensible. It's a small minority of people. I'm not sure that those are necessarily even Chinese. It's some of our own despicable race traitors. Aki-san writes, widespread outrage? Yeah, I doubt that. It's more like a few triggered went on a tweet rampage and the network caved. Sorry to hear this. Canada is going into the dumper real quick with this type of overreaction of trivial shit. I'm reading these as they were written. I'm not sanitizing them. Agreed. The total overreaction, which of course means a person's job. David Christie says, OMFG, that's oh my effing God. People need to grow up, grow the fuck up. It was a joke, because the guy was wearing a mask. There is no hope for this world with all the touchy-feely BS that's happening when you can't say a damn thing anymore. What the hell happened to the people on this planet? When the hell did everybody become a race of wimps? Well, actually, David, it's not everybody. It's our own morally rotten political establishment. Christina Susi writes, I think this is over-punishing. This is a person's livelihood that was taken away over saying something dumb. I would have thought a public apology would have been more appropriate. People commit suicide over this. Like, how is he going to pay his bills? And what if he has children? I really think his job was worth way more than his comment. Give him his job back and make him publicly apologize or something like that. well, I wouldn't even agree. I wouldn't agree with making him apologize or anything. I mean, he didn't say anything wrong, but... You certainly get her point. Stefan Illman writes, Peter Ackman is a great journalist with a sense of humor. We'd be honored to have him at, this is another publication, Canada Chronicle. Stefan continues to write, idiots are running this country. Yes, I'd certainly agree with that. Gus Badawi writes, this is getting ridiculous. I hope this increase in sensitivity is not the new normal, because it's pathetic. Who remembers the days of the comedy show Mind Your Language? If shown today to the masses, it would start a world war. Jennifer Gould writes, I'm not sure about his tweet being racist or worth losing his job over, but I personally don't think that this coronavirus is in any way funny or something to joke about. God help us all. Well, okay, I think she kind of missed the point, but Julian writes, the media has overhyped this strain of flu, just like the global ensuing climate catastrophe. It's truly pathetic that people, I guess sheeple would now be the correct moniker, given the shite the gullible populace believes. The people buy into this fucking unsubstantiated made-up stories. Wake up, people, and lighten up, too. Okay, there are other comments, but I'm telling you, I am reading them as they appear. Censoring ones. In the first 20, I didn't see a single comment that said he deserved to be fired. Mark Fisher, I'm going to read a few more. Mark Fisher, lighten up, everybody. Lazelle Ravadia, we Canadians can be hypersensitive. It seems like an innocent joke. Political correctness sometimes sucks. You know, I'd say it always sucks. Stephen Illman, again, hyper hypocrites would be more appropriate. Anyway, you get the idea. Well, that's, I would say, the good news. A lot of people are caught on to what a tyranny this is. Anyway, we've got a lot of work to do. This is Paul Fromm, you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take my musical break, and I'm going to play some music from Germany. And this is a little bit more on the lighter side. This is some good German drinking music. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
Thank you. This is Paul Crum. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot